بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq of listening to some words of deen so that we may ponder, reflect, and connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, time is just passing very rapidly, and we have a destination that we need to reach, and we become so consumed and absorbed in our worldly affairs, that sometimes we forget that we are on this journey, and soon this journey will come to an end. And when the journey comes to an end, then it will not be possible for us to restart this journey and then travel again in a correct manner. When the journey is over, then we'll be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will question us regarding how we spent our time in this world and how we traverse this world and how we reached our ultimate destination, the Akhirah. And therefore it is important that we have our priorities right in this world. Allah Ta'ala has created us, Allah has sent us into this world. So we have zaruriyat, needs. We need to eat food, we need to rest, we need to sleep, we need to have some time with our family, we need some time to do business, to do some tijara, kasbul halal. So we need time for zaruriyat of dunya to survive in this world. Like how we breathe in the air and how we eat food, and we have to see to our parents, our wives, our children, our family members. So there are some things that are of need, necessity. Those are zaruriyat. But that's not the focus of our journey. We are moving towards a destination. Well, we have a vehicle and we need some patkos on this safar, on this journey. So we take our food, some bare necessities we take with us, or medication when we're traveling, some food, patkos as we say. But our focus is not the food that we're carrying, the medication and the necessities that we have. If all the time is only going to be acquiring those necessities, then we won't move forward. Time will pass and then we would not have reached our destination. So that is a problem we have, the challenge we have, that whilst living in this world and whilst seeing to those things that we have to fulfill as part of necessities to survive in this world, must not lose the focus, there is akhirat. On the same hand, a person cannot only be sitting in the masjid, for example, or making ibadah, and he neglects the zaruriyat of survival in this world, and he has no time to fend for his children, his wife, and then they become beggars on the street, he leaves them hungry. No. Shariat is balance. Balance. There's in time and place everything. So when there is a time, for example, a person gets married now, is newly married, he will need to spend some time with his wife, but at the same time, he cannot become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and miss his salat. He's gone on honeymoon, so now he just becomes, he discards his salat, becomes ghafil. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to give preference to Allah and Rasulullah and to deen more than anything else. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The priority there is Allah first, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, deen, shariat, and then of course, whatever shariat has commanded us to look after your wife, to care for your wife. On the other hand, a person cannot now get married, got his young wife, and he leaves her, and now he just becomes preoccupied or completely occupied in his ibadah and he forgets her. Now you find one or two incidents in that Salafi Salihin, a few incidents, and there is a different halat, a different kayfiyat. to show the engrossment of a particular sahabi, like when he got married, and he didn't do it deliberately. This is the connection, the bond that they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dun that they were in were different. The sahabi got married, it's one particular incident. So he told his wife, just give me a limited 2 rakat salah. So the first night, she's waiting, and he started his salah, Allahu Akbar, it was after Isha, and he was so consumed in his salah, imagine on the night of his nikah, that by the time he made salam, when he finished his 2 rakat, it was the muazzin calling of the Fajr Azan. And that's one case. You and I cannot do that. The wife will run away. We'll have problems after that. Sharia is balance. There's a time and place for everything. A sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallam. I'm going out in jihad. My name has been written. Nabi sallam asked him, you got parents? He said, yes. And from his answer and his interaction with Rasulullah, Nabi sallam understood that he had elderly parents and there was nobody to take care of them. He says, فَفِيهِمَا فَجَاهِدْ. Go look after your parents. At that moment, for him, was more important to take care of his parents. So everything has priority. Or everything has time and place. Deen gets preference. Sharia gets preference. First we look at deen. Then we work around. Our first put our timetable, my salat, my zuhar, my fajr, my zuhar, my asr, my maghrib, my isha. This is my program, my dhikr, my tasbih, my tilawat. Other things I got to fit in afterwards. What we do is we plan our dunya for the whole day. And now we try and bring in our ibadah in between. That is incorrect. Deen first, and then you work around that. See how I can fit in my dunya. How much time I need to go to the shop, business. How much of time I need with the family, etc. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, because we have extremes. And the extreme that we have is the other way, the weakness, the laxity, that we forget deen and we become too engrossed in dunya and we have barely any time left for preparing for the akhirat. So there is time for zaruriyat of dunya and there is time for deen. Like the sahabi Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala's incident that I think we, without exaggeration, hundreds of times we discussed here, that in this majlis of Rasulullah sallam, the kafiyat of his heart, his spiritual heart, reached such a peak, such a high, that it was as though they were seeing Jannat with their own eyes. And the moment he went home, and now he interacted with his wife and children, and he got busy in his business, he felt a decrease in that level which he experienced in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Little bit. For that he regarded himself as a munafiq, as a hypocrite. Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala has become munafiq. And when he explained this to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, imagine Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, the greatest of all the sahaba. He also felt, what you are saying makes sense. I am also munafiq then. Both good for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sam heard them out and said, Sa'atan fa sa'atan. Hanzala, is it time for you to be with Allah and time for you to be with your business and wife and children? Most commentators have given this answer, explanation. Sa'atan wa sa'atan. There's a time for you to be with Allah and a time for you to be with your kids and children. You cannot have that type of feeling with your wife and children that you will experience in your salat and your ibadat, etc. A person has to react differently with his wife. He has to behave differently, conduct himself differently with his children. He has to come down to their level. And others have explained sa'atan fa sa'atan, that gradually, slowly, slowly, you cannot just reach overnight to such a high level. But the first explanation, most commentators have given, that there's a time for you and Allah and your ibadah, and time for you and your family. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali's malfuzat we were doing. And as I said, it is very beneficial indeed. Perhaps next week we'll take some topic. These are all miscellaneous malfuzat, anecdotes that was compiled from different majalis, wa'az, nasihat. May Allah Ta'ala accept this khidmat that has been done. In one of it he said, it is not the speaker, not the speaker, it is the talab of the seeker. Those who are sitting in the congregation, their talab, their quest they have, the desire they have in their heart to learn, to spiritually benefit. See, it is not the speaker, it is the talab of the seeker. Like when the baby cries, Allah Ta'ala converts the blood of the mother to milk. That is the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The baby is crying. Baby has talab. It is seeking milk. Not that the mother is calling out the baby and feeding the baby or force feeding the child. No. The baby has talab. So the baby cries. The moment the baby cries, the mother knows the baby is either it needs to change the napkin or the baby is hungry. And she knows. No, the baby hasn't got his feet. The baby is hungry now. So automatically, the blood of the mother is converted to milk. Woman has got no children, or the mother is not pregnant. So, there's no now blood turning into milk there. Look at Allah Ta'ala's system. Like that, when the audience has talab, Allah Ta'ala, so there is as though the audience, the congregation, they are crying out, the heart is crying. Ya Allah, we are seeking you. So Ya Allah, guide us. So speaker is just sitting, and Allah Ta'ala puts the words on the tongue of the speaker to quench the thirst of those who are listening. And therefore it is extremely important. The talibin that we have, the seekers, if they are sincere and genuine, sometimes just one person, and because of him, Allah Ta'ala brings simple words, simple things in the tongue of the speaker, which inspires that heart and causes a reformation in his life. Hundreds of people, thousands of people have benefited in this way. All because they had sincere talab. Hazrat Mawlana says, when the earth cracks, Allah Ta'ala sends rain. Rain will come, barish, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Akhim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, on so many occasions. Suddenly, when he would speak, at a time, you won't think that Hazrat is going to give a bayan now. In fact, he's resting. He was not well the whole day. Doctors had seen to him. So everybody thinks he's not going to say anything. And people sitting around there, suddenly, such words and barish and rain would fall. And everybody around there, even those who do not understand Urdu, but at that moment, Allah Ta'ala gives you the samaj and understanding because you are sincere, you are a sincere seeker. And after speaking, suddenly it stops. He says, barish khatam ho gayi, finish. Rain is over. Now anything extra I cannot say. But this, those who are sitting, the talab they have, so like that, when the earth cracks, the person is sincere, he cries, then Allah Ta'ala sends the rain, Allah Ta'ala guides the person. Hazrat Maulana says, ask Allah Ta'ala for biryani. We're not talking about the biryani, the food. This is by way of example. What he says, that is when making dua, ask for the best. Nobody has biryani every day. Biryani we have now and then, special occasion, you've got some mehman coming, or Eid day. So he said, ask Allah Ta'ala for biryani, meaning that when making dua, ask for the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you get dal, make shukr. You might not get the biryani that you are asking. But you can ask for the best. Why? You're asking the greatest person. There's no comparison to Allah ta'ala. The most great. There's nobody greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in His control. Nothing, the hadith says, لا يتعظمه شيء. Nothing is mammoth and daunting and difficult for Allah Ta'ala to give. The keys to all khazain treasures, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلَيْهِ. Everything rosy in the hands of Allah. Shifa in the hands of Allah. Solution to every single problem. Political problem is in the hands of Allah. Social problem in the hands of Allah. Domestic problem in the hands of Allah. Welfare problem in the hands of Allah. Ill health in the hands of Allah. You got no rosy, you got no sustenance, you got no job, it's in the hands of Allah. You are not well, you are sick, it's in the hands. beg from Allah. Nothing is hard for Allah. We have to learn how to beg from Allah. Believe me, this is such a remedy, a medicine, an ilaj for all our problems. Rasulullah said, any problem, first you will engage in salah. We did the hadith this morning in madrasa. Man arada al-hajj falyata'ajjal. Person who intends hajj, then he should hasten towards preparing for hajj. So I asked one of the students, okay, so what's the thing, first thing he'll do? So he said, no, we have to go put our name down in sahuk. I said, no such thing as that. First you put your name down in the book of Allah, in the court of Allah. You read two rakat salat. You make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, I want to go for hajj. Ya Allah, you make the opening. Then after that, whatever the requirements are, that you have to get accredited and you go to the agent and you get a passport and you get your ticket, etc. First thing, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever, no matter how small it may be, no matter how big it may be. So Hazrat Mawlana says, if you get dull, make shukr. And believe that there is khair in all that Allah ta'ala does and gives. You asked for biryani, you got dal. Why? There was some khair for you in getting that dal. You and I do not have knowledge of the unseen. Perhaps you asked for a Porsche. And you got a simple car. Now you didn't realize, maybe that Porsche would have been stolen by some person. Or met up with an accident, whatever it may have been. And so Allah Ta'ala gave you something else. Or Allah did not give you a car, He gave you something else. Allah Ta'ala knows what to give, how much to give, when to give, why to give you. Everything is in the wisdom of Allah. Sometimes He may not give you that biryani. Why? Because He knows if He's going to give you that biryani, you may not make shukr. Or you'll be content and then after that you won't turn to Allah, so you got what you want. But by giving you dual, you're going to keep on asking Allah, begging from Allah, Ya Allah, I still want this, I want this, I want this. Allah has got different hikmat. So if you get that dual, you make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in that there is khair for you. Believe that there is no limit to Allah ta'ala's treasures and nothing is difficult for Him. Nothing is difficult. No limit to Allah ta'ala's treasures. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa حديث القدسي الله تعالى says لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل واحد مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. To explain to us that the treasures of Allah تعالى are so vast. Allah gives and gives and gives and gives, not to only me and you, to the billions of His makhluk. He had been giving from before we came into this world. Allah Ta'ala gives so much, and nothing diminishes, decreases from His vast treasures. But for our understanding, Rasulullah says, take a needle and dip it into the ocean and then remove the needle. How much of water do you see on the needle? Nothing. That's what has decreased from the treasures of Allah, meaning nothing. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. There was a brother who was a very heavy drug addict. In fact, we had the program here from Australia. The whole group of youngsters came from Australia. They were Lebanese brothers. And we had a beautiful program some years back. Some of them had tattoos and they were gangsters. And they had changed their life. And this brother had given his whole experience, which I cannot give the whole detail now. But he said, when the doctor said that it's not going to be possible for him now to give off the drugs, and so he has to just decrease a little bit, like a person smokes 40 cigarettes, even make it 38, and then slowly. And the doctor wrote a whole prescription to him. He tore it in front of the doctor. And he said, no. I'm going to ask my Allah. And he goes onto the musalla and in sajda he cried like a little baby. And he said in his words, he says, Allah, I'm there for you. Be there for me. In his own words. He said, Allah, I'm there. I'm begging from you because nobody else can help me.
He had such certitude in the help of Allah, and he said Allah cured him from that. When he came here, nobody would say that he was an addict. So nothing, believe me, nothing. Yes, as far as dunya is concerned, the doctor, according to his diagnosis, whatever his experience, he said, no, sorry, there's only that much of time. I spoke to a brother 2 days ago in Johannesburg. And he told me that his wife has had cancer. She was diagnosed and things like that. And doctors obviously said this either for chemo or radium, whatever it was. And he told his wife, no. If you want to go, you go. But we're not going to go this route. She said, whatever you say. So she said, what are you going to do? He said, tomorrow we're leaving for Umrah. And they left for Umrah. And when they were there, he said, now we're going to beg from Allah. And he made a drink Zamzam, and he said, we are just going to now turn to Allah. He says, Maulana, believe me, I to stop her sometimes, the amount of tawaf she was making, I would tell her, okay, now, enough now, you need some rest, let's go to the hotel and I'll bring you back. She just begged from Allah. He says, 7 years went by and she didn't need a chemo and no radium, nothing. So nothing is impossible. All we need to do is sincerely beg from Allah. Yes, after that, you ask for biryani, Allah gave you doll, you accept it. There is some khair in it. It's beyond our control. Allah knows why, how much to give, when to give, why to give, whether to give, not to give. It's Allah Ta'ala's control. So remember, as Allah says, believe that there is no limit in Allah Ta'ala's treasures and nothing is difficult for him. The next one, for Allah says, the progress of a person depends on righteous deeds. And not just on dua. Of course, we explained the importance of dua. You need something, you make dua. Even for your islah, you make dua. Ya Allah, make my islah. Ya Allah, I want to spiritually progress. I want to connect to you. So there is dua, but with dua comes dawa. The medication. You go to the doctor, doc, please, man, hey, you know, I need to just get to come right. So he give you the whole prescription. He will see you, examine you, everything. He say, take this medication. Now, if you don't take the medication, how are you going to get cured? So here, Hazrat Mawlana says, the progress of a person, your spiritual progress, depends on righteous deeds. You have to do good deeds. And not just du'as. We will have to do something ourselves. Action has to accompany our du'as. So we have to do amali salih. Yes, you make the du'a and you do the deed. Then Allah helps you. That is the du'a after farz salat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, who was a young sahabi. Ya Mu'adh, wallahi. Ajib. Nabi Kareem is taking qasam in Allah. Oh Mu'adh, Allah's qasam. Inni verily I, la, undoubtedly la uhibbuk, I love you. The Nabi of Allah telling Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. He says, Mu'adh, la tada'anna fi duburi kulli salatin. Don't leave out after every farz salat the following dua. Allahumma a'inni. Oh Allah, help me, assist me, ala dhikrik, in making your dhikr. Ya Allah, I want to make your dhikr. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika. Wa shukrik, and making your shukr. I want to be a grateful servant. Ya Allah, you help me, make me see the right words to make your shukr properly. To make your dhikr properly. Wa husni ibadatik, and making your ibadat properly and correctly. So we make dua to Allah, and we make our attempts. Both together, inshallah, then spiritually, we will progress. If the whole world can cry for us, father can cry, mother can cry, your siblings are crying, your family can cry, but we have to cry over our sins. We ourselves, we have to cry. So many a parent is crying for their children, crying, crying. Make dua, my son comes onto hidayah. Make dua, my daughter comes right again. They've gone far away from deen. They're taking this, doing that. No salat in their lives. Make dua. So everybody is crying. And Allah will accept the dua. But the person himself, herself, they have to, each one of us, we have to cry over our sins. That is what Allah Ta'ala wants. The aneenul muzibin ahabbu ilayya min zajri musabbihin. One riwayat is mentioned, Allah says, the aneen, the sobs, the crying of the sinners, repenting over these sins. Ya Allah, mujhe maaf farma. Ya Allah, Allahumma ghfir li. Ya Allah, you forgive me. Rabbi khair warham. Anta khair rahimin. That is more beloved to Allah then even the hymning of those making the dhikr of Allah, you sing subhanallah, which is beautiful. But the person making tawbah is making rujoo to Allah. Allah loves that. So we have to cry over ourselves. Another one says, happiness lies in restraining oneself from haram. Who doesn't want happiness? Believe me, you can have all the material possessions in this world. The best home, palatial home, cars, you got everything. But you don't have happiness. Why? Because you're indulging in haram. When you indulge in haram, any one of us indulges in haram, then you are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Happiness is in His control. Grief is in His control. Outwardly what we see, pomp and pleasure and everybody enjoying, they're not enjoying. It's an outward thing that we see. Inside, when the person is alone at home, the turmoil in his heart, the pareshani, the restlessness, the anger, the fight that happens and the miserable life that the person is living, if we ever come to know that, we will never want to have such a life. But the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who may not have so much of material possession, but when he's sleeping, a certain type of enjoyment. Yes, he'll have fikr of this and akhirat and this person's problem and whatever it is. But the happiness, that happiness, we can't even describe and explain. This word happiness is not even a complete word to show that ecstasy that this person is enjoying. When he's obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of us can get it. Every one of us. The moment we do some good deed, some righteous deed, do we not feel happy at that moment? You finish your Quran khatam and you came to the last Surah Nas and then you started Surah Fatiha and you read to the Muflihun. Some type of enjoyment you got. Ramadan, alhamdulillah, you said, this year I made all my tarawih, give you some enjoyment. Man went for Hajj, he came back, he felt fulfilled, he felt so nice. Why? Allah keeps happiness, sukoon in the deeds that will please Him. In other things of this world, for this few seconds you may get happy, few seconds only. It's not lasting. And then it comes to an end, it's all over. So happiness lies in restraining oneself from haram. No matter what the temptation is, it is pulling you towards evil. No, I'm going to restrain myself. That is when you enjoy happiness. And somebody asked me, a city, halawat iman. He said, Maulana, in the environment I am, it is so difficult, you know. Lash from this side, that side, is woman all over. And you have said that we must lower our gaze. So now I'm trying. And so, am I getting that halawati iman? The sweetness of iman? So yes, if a person out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he is tempted towards looking at some haram, but he lowers his gaze, only for the pleasure of Allah, for a few minutes, few seconds maybe, some type of cool feeling, some sweetness comes into his heart. That sweetness cannot be described. You cannot explain, this is what I'm experiencing. That is the sweetness of it. And the more you do this, that you lower your gaze each time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each time the sweetness of iman is coming into. So the more you are in those environments, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Ram used to say, that is the dukan, the sweetmeat shops, where when a person is walking in the bazaar and from all sides he's being enticed, lured by haram woman, but he says no and looks down. Na dekho, na dekho. Hargiz na dekho. Jinke dekhne se Rab tera naraz ho jayega. Don't look, don't look. Never look at those things. That by looking at those things, my Allah is going to become displeased. So when a person does not do this, the riwayat says, أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ. That this poisonous arrow of shaitan, when you look at some haram, it's the poisonous arrow of shaitan. But that person who does not look out of مَخَافَتِي, Allah says, my displeasure, then I will give him such an iman, the sweetness of which he would enjoy. So, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmah said that now you, this young man is going to his workplace, whatever, and he's not looking at those women solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is now getting the sweetmeats that he's enjoying. Unlike the person in the masjid, now there's no nothing to look at, no haram. So yes, you are in ibadat, excellent.
But you're not getting the sweet meats that that man is getting there by restraining himself from haram. That's something else. The test is harder for him. You got an easy test. Who's expected to do something haram in the masjid? If you do something haram, if you bring your cell phone in the masjid and then you're watching some pornographic thing, well, that is something crazy. In a certain Mubarak place, you do such things. Just the creation of the place. Allah save our masjid from such things. Our madaris. No normal person will come do something like that. But out there, the challenge is there. Now you're combating it. Like you have a student who's married. He's got responsibilities. And he's still excelling in his exams. Compared to a person who's got no responsibilities, not married, and he's doing well. From the boat, you see, now this man, with all his responsibilities, and he was married also. And still he scored such high marks. He really needs a hard-working price. So those people in that environment never lose hope. Whatever it is, you're a doctor, you're a dentist, you're a surgeon, physician, you're an accountant, but you have to be in those places. But again, Allah is watching, Allah is watching, Allah is watching. And you will have more respect eventually from the people working with you. That non-Muslim woman, even though she might think first, hey, what is wrong with this guy, he's looking down and all, but later she will respect you. She'll feel more safe to be in your company than being with somebody else who's keep on looking at her with evil eyes. Allah has given us purity. This deen is pure. The amals in this deen is pure. The sunnah of Nabi Kareem, the sunnah, his teachings, his way of life is absolutely pure. It is attractive. Unfortunately, we haven't appreciated it. We don't see it. Those from the outside world, a non-Muslim, he becomes attracted to the adhan, attracted to this libas, attracted to our salat. They look, what is something different? We have become accustomed, so it's part of our habit. We're not realizing it. Our deen is so pure, so if you follow the pure way, inshallah, you will reach your destination we spoke about in the beginning with ease. Allah Ta'ala does not forget us in our sinful state. Allah Ta'ala does not forget us in our sinful state. He still gives us air to breathe, food to eat, and thousands of bounties. How can we have any doubt that He will forget us when we are obedient to Him? Imagine, whilst we are disobeying Allah, Allah still gives us air to breathe, free of charge. A man who can't breathe is on the ventilator. Ask him the ni'mat of breathing easily. Person can't urinate properly. He is in pareshani. And when he's able to release himself and relieve himself, what a ni'mat he says. Ya Allah, shukr. So despite our being disobedient to Allah, Allah still provides for us, still takes care for us. So imagine if we become pious servants and obedient to Allah. You think Allah will just abandon us? Never. Allah will provide even more for us. Yes, there will be some tests. The closer you are to Allah, Allah will test you to see how much you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always give the example. You love your child. The child loves you. You want to see how much the child loves you. He asks you for a chocolate sweet, so you make it like that, and the child jumps. You pick it higher and higher and higher and higher to see how much the child really wants you and has love for you. You really love me? Okay, jump, jump. And finally you give the child. There's an incident that ulama mashayikh have written. We mentioned it previously. It was either Dhunnun, Misri Ramadullah, some Buzurg. He was sitting on the banks of the river, and sometime when you're in that condition, then you watch and observe every small thing you see around you. So suddenly he saw a very strange thing. He saw like a frog hopping, and some spider jumps onto the back of the frog and leaps across over the river. So he follows. And he sees a drunk person sleeping there in this drunken state of his, and a snake is curling itself around the leg of this body of this drunk person about to bite this man, to sting this man, when suddenly the spider jumps off this back of the frog and kills the snake just in time. So according to some ulama and mashayikh, they mentioned that this person, the Buzurg, woke up this man. Ya Allah, Ta'ala saved you.
And look at your condition. Just look at your condition. You know, you should make tawbah and istighfar, whatever it is. And then he hears a voice, he says, that, oh, Dhunnoon, I am not the Allah only of the pious, I'm also the Allah of the impious. Allah gives every person. But we have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our shukr is, one is by means of our tongue and our actions. Ya Allah, the food you give me, let me now utilize this energy in your obedience. Not in watching haram, and spending my money in haram, and going to haram places. Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal, to understand these beautiful teachings of our elders, our mashayikh, our pious, all extracted and from where? Quran, hadith, sunnah, from mashayikh, from those who spend their lives, their lives they have spent. You see the mashayikh who come. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, Mullah Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, those who spend, they hold it 24 hours. Only in the obedience of Allah and Rasulullah. When they sit even having a meal, connected to Allah Ta'ala, talking something about Deen. When they're resting also, they must this, that. There was nothing in their life that they'll go to some place to do something that will be haram or displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just take one more, inshallah. People see, my sheikh is great, my sheikh is great. My father is great. My grandfather was great. All of this is in its place. They were great people. But ask, what am I? What's my position? I can say my grandfather was very great. My father-in-law was very great. My father was very great. My uncle was great. My sheikh was a very great buzurg. Now ask yourself, what am I? In other words, what these people, the legacy they left, the teaching they left, we can talk and write biographies and we can speak about them and each person, I was very close to Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah, mashallah, excellent, but what did you get from his life that you have implemented? The akhlaq, the politeness, the teaching, the muamalat, the muasharat, all those things, that is how we have to bring into, I learned this and I brought it into my life. This is what we need to ask ourselves. What am I? Because on the day of Qiyamah, this is what you present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I a true follower of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can I call myself a true follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There are so many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he mentions various type of amal. He said, laysa minna, laysa minna, laysa minna, he's not of us. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is breaking himself away, detaching himself from such people who indulge in certain actions. For example, man ghashana falaysa minna. That person who deceives us, Nabi Karim says no. He doesn't deserve to be called part of my ummat. He's got no ta'alluq with me. He's not mine. May Allah Ta'ala make us true followers of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah help us to follow the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, salafi salihin. In these great difficult times with such challenges, believe me, there are such things happening in the whole world. Whole world. Every country you can think of. The whole system. I don't have time to expound now on some other occasion. The whole system in the world is now becoming like a Dajjali system. There is no doubt the stage for Dajjal is now being set up. Little masoom, little children in the school, innocent minds, their minds are being put into such a syllabus. Already from small, you are moving towards homosexuality. In one school somewhere in the world, the child said, my father is, okay, whatever, Abdullah. And his best friend is Yusuf, just by way of example. Abdullah and Yusuf are best friends. So see how now, the child, father, friend, nothing is normal. And it goes more. At night they sleep together. Now see, what is the child? Sleeping together, father and his friend. It's normal, nothing wrong. So automatically you're injecting those germs into the child's mind. So later on what happens? The child will feel there's nothing wrong with being gay. Nothing wrong with homosexuality. It's totally accepted. There's only one or two examples. There are thousands of examples we see throughout the globe. Allah protect us. Allah. When Dajjal will appear, Allah knows best. When Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala will come, Allah knows best. But the stage has been set. The whole world, whatever is happening, if we don't wake up now, believe me, my respected brothers and elders, we are going to be in a serious problem. Not only us, especially our children, our grandchildren, your home environment has to be now a pure environment. If you're not going to sit with your child, your grandchild, and discuss deen, simple things, talk to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stories of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. We got no excuse, we can't say no other book, kitabs in Arabic and Urdu. There are tons of good Islamic stories. And teach the child, believe me, the child's mind is so innocent, the child will imbibe haqq, purity. Look at our condition. If our parents and grandparents did not send us to madrasa in the afternoon, amen, the apa was very cheeky and the molana was giving us hiding and all those things. But it saved us. It saved our iman. Saved our iman. If your child is going to be deprived of all these things, how much of time do you have now to make tarbiyat of your child and your wife? Everybody's busy. But if you don't spend that valuable time, believe me, if you don't teach your child about salat, about hajj and umrah and Kaaba and Madinah Sharif and love for Rasulullah s.a.w. and sahaba and stories of Adam alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, if you're not going to do all this, the child will live in an environment with no East Islamic education and deen, and later on he becomes a youngster, then he will go be misled very easily and he'll find, no, there's nothing wrong with it. What's wrong with it? Why are you talking this? What Quran, Sunnah, what are you talking about Hadith and Sunnah? No. This is something very, very, very serious. May Allah give me Hidayat, give all of us Hidayat. Allah protect me, my family, my children, grandchildren, my students, our musallis, our mutalliqeen, our friends, our entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us the pure deen which we must accept, believe this is haqq, and try it our level best to follow this deen. We make mistakes, we are not perfect, we are full of sins. Allah out of His kindness, Allah will protect us, Allah will protect our children in this country, in the four corners of the globe. We are living in such rahat what Allah has given us, but Allah can change the condition if we start moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before all that happens, tawbah istighfar. We don't have to wait for numbers, we are few of us. Some sincere brother tonight, some sincere mother listening, she goes in sajda and she cries, Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive my family, forgive the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will have raham, Allah will guide us, Allah will protect us. Believe me, Allah, Surah Kaf, we discussed it, whole tafsir in the month of Ramadan. Many youngsters were very happy, they wanted me to carry on the tafsir. But it's not just a storytelling thing. No, Quran is there for hidayat. To bring this positive change in our life, we have to repeat those lessons and repeat those lessons and ponder and cogitate and look at what is Allah Ta'ala asking me, what is Allah guiding me, how I must bring this environment in my home. We are ambassadors of deen. We must lead, others follow us, not that others lead and we follow them and we find uncomfortable. Whether you're in the airport, you take out your musalla and you read your salat. Whether you're in the station, wherever it is time, you read. You don't have to eat haram, because everybody eating haram, now what they will say, you take out your halal food and you eat. Offer the others your halal also. We are leaders, Allah kept us, Khalifa, in this khulafa, in this world. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.